fair idea of the angle that the plaintiff's lawyer was likely to take in the case against Anna. The witness list for the afternoon session was much longer. In the case of the District of Westland versus Mr. Emery Staines, the plaintiff had called for the testimonies of Mr. Richard Mannering, Mr. John Long Quee, Mr. Benjamin Lerventhal, Mr. Edgar Clinch, Mr. Harold Nielsen, Mr. Charles Frost, Mrs. Lydia Carver, and Captain Francis Carver. Moody, upon receiving these advanced documents, had sat down at once to refine his two-part strategy, for he knew very well that the impression created in the morning would do much to shape the verdict delivered in the afternoon. At last the clock struck nine, and those seated were requested to rise. The crowd fell silent for the arrival of the Honourable Justice Kemp, who mounted the steps to the dais, seated himself heavily, waved a hand for the members of the court to be seated also, and dispatched the necessary formalities without ado. He was a florid, thick-fingered man, clean-shaven, with a thatch of wiry hair cut oddly so that it ballooned over his ears and lay very flat upon the crown of his head.
"Mr. Walter Moody for the defendant," he said, reading the names off the ledger in front of him, "and Mr. Lawrence Broom for the plaintiff, assisted by Mr. Roger Harrington and Mr. John Fellows of the Magistrates' Court. Mr. Moody, Mr. Broom,"
looking up over his spectacles to fix his gaze upon the barrister's bench,
"I will say two things before we begin. The first is this. I am very sensible of the fact that the crowd in this courtroom did not convene today out of love for the law. But we are here to satisfy justice, not prurience, no matter who is on that stand, and no matter what the charge. I will thank you both to restrict your interrogations of Miss Wetherill and of all her associates to appropriate themes. In describing Miss Wetherill's former employment, you may choose from the terms streetwalker, lady of the night, or member of the old profession. Do I make myself clear upon this point?"
The lawyers murmured their assent.
"Good," said Justice Kemp. "The second item I wish to mention is one I've already discussed with each of you in private. I repeat myself for the benefit of the public. The six charges that we will hear today, forgery, inebriation, and assault in the case of Miss Wetherill this morning, and fraud, theft, and dereliction in the case of Mr. Staines this afternoon, are in a great many ways interdependent, as I'm sure every reading man in Westland is already aware. Given this interrelation, I think it prudent to delay the sentencing of Miss Wetherill until the case of Mr. Staines has been heard, so as to ensure that each trial is considered in the light, as it were, of the other. All clear? Good."
He nodded to the bailiff.
"Call the defendant."
There was much whispering as Anna was brought forth from the cells. Moody, turning to observe her approach, was satisfied by the impression his client created. Her thinness had lost its starved, wasted quality, and now seemed merely feminine, an index of delicacy rather than of malnourishment. She was still wearing the black dress that had belonged to Aubert Gascoigne's late wife, and her hair had been fixed very plainly, gathered in a simple knot at the nape of her neck. The bailiff guided her into the makeshift witness box, and she stepped forward to place her hand upon the courthouse Bible. She gave her oath quietly and without emotion, and then turned to the justice, her expression blank, her hands loosely folded.
"Miss Anna Wetherill," he said, "you appear before this court to answer for three charges. Firstly, the forgery of a signature upon a deed of gift. How do you plead?"
"Not guilty, sir."
"Secondly, public intoxication causing disorderly behaviour upon the afternoon of the 20th of March this year. How do you plead?"
"Not guilty, sir."
"And thirdly, the grievous assault of Mr. Emery Staines. How do you plead?"
"Not guilty, sir."
The justice made a note of these pleas and then said,
"You are no doubt aware, Miss Wetherill, that this court is not authorized to hear a criminal case."
"Yes, sir."
The third of your indictments may be judged to warrant a trial by a higher court. If that circumstance should come to pass, you will be remanded in custody until a Supreme Court judge and jury can be convened. Do you understand?
Yes, sir, I understand.
Good. Sit.
She sat.
Mr. Broom, said Justice Kemp, the court will now hear your statement.
Thank you, sir. Broom was a slender man with a ginger moustache and sharp, watery eyes. He rose, squaring the edges of his papers with the edge of the desk.
Mr. Justice Kemp, fellow members of the court, ladies and gentlemen, he began, that the smoke of the poppy is a drug primitive in its temptations, devastating in its effects, and reprehensible in its associations, both social and historical, ought among all decent citizens to be a commonplace. Today we shall examine a sorry case in point, a young woman whose weakness for the drug has besmirched not only Hokitika's public countenance, but the countenance of our newly anointed district of Westland at large.
Broom's statement was lengthy. He reminded the members of the court that Anna had made an attempt upon her life once before, drawing a connection between that failed attempt and her collapse on the afternoon of the 20th of March, both of which, he added with a cynical accent, did well to draw the attention of the public eye. He devoted a great deal of time to her forgery of Stain's signature upon the deed of gift, casting doubt upon the validity of the document as written, and emphasizing the degree to which Anna stood to gain by falsifying it. Turning to the charge of assault, he spoke in general terms about the dangerous and unpredictable character of the opium addict, and then described Stain's gunshot wound in such frank detail that a woman in the gallery had to be escorted from the building. In closing, he invited all present to consider how much opium £2,000 would buy, and then he asked, rhetorically, whether the public would suffer such a quantity to be placed in the hands of such a damaged and ill-connected person as Miss Anna Wetherill, former Lady of the Night.